Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, and ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman, Johnny Beattie. We're going to be joined by La Rochelle's Australian international hooker, Tolu Latu, shortly after they made it through to the Champions Cup quarterfinals in another epic battle in South Africa. And hopefully they've made it safely to Dublin as well. We'll find out. First, though, Johnny, I'm assuming you're back home now, but busy weekend?
It was, mate. I wasn't as far away as Cape Town.
No.
I was doing the road trip round France with the TNT crew, which was good, with Nick Mullins, Tom May, and ended up chauffeuring home Dmitry Yashvili back to Biarritz as well after the game last night. So, no, it was good. It was good and social, some quality games of rugby. And yeah, it's a good time of year, isn't it? Knockouts are always fun. So, no, really enjoyed it.
Was that just to earn a bit of extra cash, chauffeuring Dmitry around, or...?
I think it was France TV not stumping up the cash to get him a car. So he was like, mate, can I jump in with you? We're going sort of the same direction, which was fine. We got to chew the fat on all things Biarritz, their takeover, new owner has been announced there this week as well. So it was great to have a little bit of insight from him. And it's great news for the club, right? Who haven't been in a good spot over the past two, three seasons. It's only gone one way. So you've now got Sean Hegarty, former Biarritz and Bayonne player. He's a good egg as well. And Flip van der Merwe, former Clermont player, South African, who is an absolute brain box, very smart boy. They're two-thirds of a little consortium that's fronted a takeover. So no, it was great to spend the journey talking about potentially what will hopefully be brighter future times for Biarritz and all things French rugby, which is pretty cool.
So two-thirds of a consortium, that means they've paid 33 cents each, those two.
Well, mate, we say that. I reckon, you're taking on what, 6-7 million euros of debt? So they're the front. I'm hoping in the back end there's a lot of cash somewhere that's going to prop this up. Because really, if you're looking to take on a pro rata side and do it well, you're looking at that debt of 6 million, managing that, paying that down, and then spending on some new players and some new staff. So you're looking at north of 10 million before you get started. So it's a big old job, but they are good blokes. I'm hoping this isn't, I don't want to say naivety, but I hope they're not just doing this for the good of the club and they're trying to save the club by doing a good thing. I hope there's a real solid project with some foundations behind it and some serious hard cash, because that's what they're unfortunately going to need.
Fingers crossed. And you mentioned your Champions Cup road trip around the south of France. Generally, in terms of the way it panned out, it was largely as you would have predicted, one away win in the 8 round of 16 matches. And you can kind of call that because obviously the higher seeds get to play at home. So Is this something you're okay with? It did make it not predictable. There were some really good games, but generally that is what you would have called. La Rochelle were the one away side that you would have said they've probably got the best chance. They nearly didn't, but they won. Do you think we need a more of a sort of a flat draw where anyone can play anyone anywhere? Or are you happy with this being rewarded for good form in the pool stages?
You have to be rewarded. I think what it also exposes, firstly, we talk about La Rochelle, delighted for them, because like speaking to a few of the boys during the week, they had to fly into Joburg, then spend a bit of a layover, then get to Cape Town, then get set. Like, it's an absolute mission. You realize how hard it is for those South African sides in the URC through different periods of the year having to do that grind. It's not easy, but to do that with what, a 6-day turnaround, get out, travel, not easy. So the fact that they did it and won is very impressive. We can't take that away from them. Key players coming back, Will Skelton, Joe Dante coming back and having a big impact in the game. But that's a big scalp. Like, I mean, I don't like to admit, but I didn't think they'd win that game. I thought it might have been just too much pressure and too much travel and players coming back to fitness and maybe just a step too far. But they've got themselves through to the next round, which isn't going to be easier, but it was an exceptional away win. And mate, no, I don't think it should be changed. I think that the sides that perform best should be rewarded. I think what it does expose is a bit of a gap in the sort of top maybe four or five sides in this competition. The round of 16, they haven't been tight games. Sides have been blown away. And we'll get into them shortly, but there's a bit of a gulf between the top four or five and the rest in terms of power, in terms of resource, in terms of quality. They're a step above the rest at the minute.
And one of the ones you were at where there was a huge gulf, and some people maybe wouldn't have expected that, was Bordeaux Saracens. Jamie George saying they opted out of the fight. Was he right?
Do you not think people expected that, mate? That the cumulative score across the two games is 100 points,
wasn't it? Yeah,
100 points they've conceded, and that this Saracens kind of articulate my point in that 5-6 seasons ago when they had a 23 of barbarians, and you know they've been done for going above their salary cap, but whatever they had was enough to compete with French sides and to compete with Leinster. Mate, they are now so far off the races in terms of power. And ability, and they're an aging side, right? So you look at the Vunipola boys, you look at Sean Maitland, good teammate of mine, Alex Good, Farrell Evening, then like those boys are all, what, 35? Alex Good's 36. So for English rugby, my worry is they've got a lower salary cap, which I get to protect the 10 sides that they have and protect their domestic game, but that I don't think it's going to allow it. And we'll see in the next round, I think the English sides that are playing away in France will get hammered. It is my gut feel. I might be completely wrong, but I just, at that game, Saracens just didn't have an answer for the power. When Bordeaux step on the gas, their tight five back row and their hard running back line, Saracens didn't have an answer for it. They didn't have a game plan. And I'm not sure, like Jamie at the end, he was full of candor and honest. And he said he didn't quite know what had happened there. It was sort of shell shock, and that maybe they're not used to that kind of power and they just came up against something that they couldn't handle. But yeah, like Bordeaux were a step or two above. And Bordeaux and Toulouse both at home this weekend in the quarterfinal, you expect them to go through easily, which isn't what we want to see, but they've been rewarded for their pool phases, their work. The round of 16, they're rewarded again for the quarters, and I expect them to do really well this weekend.
Yeah, having seen it in the pool stages, I don't think anyone was shocked that Bordeaux hammered Saracens. You're right, it is an ageing side, but there's also some youth and there's some very good players in that Saracens side. You would have thought in a one-off game, perhaps it would have been ever so slightly tighter.
I would argue that it is youth, and it's English youth, which is promising and it's coming through, but that's not playing against battle-hardened 30, 40, 50 test cap veterans that are Big Ben Tamifuna, that, you know, Saracens didn't have an answer for that. They don't have an answer for that power. And that's because they don't have the same budget, genuinely. So they protected their English internationals and they've got prospects coming through, but prospects aren't enough to go up toe-to-toe against the best players in the world, simply. That's how I would read into it in terms of budget. They're a little bit handicapped and they're not going to be allowed to compete at the top table of European rugby, I don't think. The only other side that I can think of is Leinster, because they don't have the handicap. They don't have the budget restraints. They have probably 2 15s that they could put out that compete with any other side in Europe. Saracens and the English sides at this moment in time don't have that luxury.
And there might be two French sides, but there's also a gulf in power between Toulouse and Racing, right?
There were, but there's a few different bits to that game as well. Le Garec not being there, Antoine Gibert not being there. So down to their third choice, scrum half. And again, they had Eni Benarous, who's been throwing a bit. He's moved from prop to hooker, second choice hooker. Some of that was calamitous. And Stuart Lancaster has been very open. It's a year of transition. I don't think they expected to go down there and win. He knows how hard it is to go away from home with your best side in France. He had a few of his best players not there. You've got Owen Farrell, water boy for Saracens, coming to him next season. He'll look to build around him, build his side, and look to really construct a dangerous and physical Racing side that will want to compete on both fronts. That was one of the questions I asked him with TNT. It's now over. You're back to top 14. You're in third, which is positive, but that's the one trophy. They've been in three finals, and they really want this one. So yeah, it was disappointing. It was, again, both games were tight at the half, 10-0. And then it comes down to the quality of replacements, of power, of attitude and fire. And yeah, they were blown off the park, the chunk of that second period, both in Bordeaux and in Toulouse.
And from a Toulouse perspective, obviously the headline is Dupont, Entomac, back, fit, in tandem again, power all around them. You mentioned it earlier, you'd expect them to win relatively comfortably this weekend. Who knows? We'll find out. Are you making them favourites for the tournament now or not?
I fully expect Bordeaux and Toulouse to win. I expect that game, that semi-final, to be absolutely colossal. And when you say favourites, like, Bordeaux could easily win that game. A neutral venue, they could win that semi-final, they could beat Toulouse. I could see that happening. I could easily see Toulouse winning as well. But then when you get through on the other side, you've got looming either La Rochelle or Leinster. That'd probably be my pick of the other side of the draw, who could easily turn over Toulouse, as Leinster have done the past couple of seasons. And La Rochelle could pitch up there. They'll be looking for blood as well after losing to Toulouse at various stages, different competitions over the past two, three seasons. So I think there's three or four sides there that could easily win this competition. So maybe the complaint would be that round of 16 is a little bit readable, a little bit one-sided, but once we get to those semi-finals, the intensity and the closeness of these tests are really going to pick up. So no, I wouldn't say Toulouse are favourites, mate. I think there's three or four that could quite easily lift the trophy this season.
Okay, and we'll come on to the quarterfinals a bit later on, but the one of the French side, the Bulls wiped the floor with them, didn't they, Liam?
They did, mate.
You can blame certain elements that can't have helped altitude, but is it just the stage that Lyon are at as well in comparison with the Bulls?
I think they're a young side as well, with a young coaching setup. And again, you talk about the difficulty in flying all that way, playing at altitude, completely different experience, and then the power that came on from the Bulls. The Bulls were impressive as well. They're another side. There's a fifth that we could chuck in that could easily win this competition. It could turn over any of the other sides. Lyon stuck to their task. We conceded 22 turnovers, missed 35 tackles, but the Bulls were impressive and they're at home and they have been impressive for the past 20 years. So there's no shame in losing. But I think for Lyon, it's a step too soon and that they're still trying to consolidate what they're doing at home with a young coaching group. Again, a playing group that's probably in transition. They're losing a few at the end of this year. Tau Funua, Demba Bamba all leaving as well. Big power units all leaving. So it's a big old rebuild at Lyon. But yeah, I don't think there's any shame for them in losing, having made it to this stage in the competition and losing to a Bulls side that is not bad, let's just say.
Another hell of a stat from that game. They only conceded one penalty, Lyon, in the whole game. Probably shows you they didn't get anywhere near.
Nowhere near. That's when you're chasing shadows. If you can only concede one penalty, you've really been busted.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get our guest on now then, and we can have a chat with La Rochelle's Australian international hooker, Tolu Latu. How are you doing?
Good, mate. Yourself?
We are good. Are you looking about as tired as Johnny is? So, travel, how's it gone?
It's been a long haul from Cape Town to here in Cork. We've just gotten into the hotel, so pretty tired and looking forward to sleeping tonight.
Mate, you've earned it. Talk us through the week's travel last week, because it's not easy and not many people will understand the lengths that you had to go to get from La Rochelle to Cape Town to play that game. So what was the journey like? What was the itinerary and just how shagged are you feeling now?
So we had a training on Tuesday, then got a bus straight after training from La Rochelle to Poitiers or something. I'm not too sure, but that was like an hour and a half. And then from there, train from there to Paris, then Paris to Joburg, and Joburg to Cape Town. Sounds easier than what it felt, but at the time doing it was like after the first leg on the bus just to the train station, I was like, fuck, we still got how many more hours of this left? So it was tough, but to come away with the win on Saturday made it worth it.
And going from those travel days, and they're grim, like we've all been there, but that's an extreme. That's almost like, but a test match, you probably travel like 10 days before. So it's extreme to do in club rugby. But if you then fast forward to that moment when Manny Libok is lining up that kick to convert the try to potentially you boys lose the game, like what's going through everyone's heads then?
Frick. Because I watched the first game when La Rochelle played against Stormers, and I think he was from the same spot and he slotted it. So when they scored their try and he was lining it up, I was like, fire out. He's going to slot it again. And then, when he kicked it, I just saw their winger chasing it like it was a penalty kick. And like, wait, can he score? Like, I just was like, yeah. And he missed it and I was like, fire out. Like, the boys are just like, I remember turning to Winnie and he was like, nah, he's not going to get it. And then he missed it and he was like, yeah. So, to come away with the win right at the end there was awesome.
Winnie's experienced. He was confident. I like it. But judging from the outside, just looking, it looked like the overwhelming emotion was, I mean, partly because you're absolutely knackered, but it was relief rather than jubilation, I guess.
Yeah. There was a lot of relief because we knew that we didn't play our best rugby. So to come away with it, like, it wasn't pretty. But, it doesn't matter how you win. It's just win. So, like I said, there was a lot of relief.
You were 13-0 down at halftime. So what's Rog saying at halftime? You mentioned there you didn't think you'd played your best. You scraped through, but 13-0 down, looking ominous.
Yeah.
What's Rog saying in the changing room at halftime?
I'm sure you can guess what he said.
Teacups flying everywhere.
Yeah, it was just a lot of... I've had Checo as a coach and I've had his blow-ups before. So Rog is like next level, especially with his accent as well. Speaking in French and then English and just basically... telling us to pull our fingers out and start playing, because otherwise it's gonna be even longer travel home. But yeah, he was very passionate in what he said, and the boys reacted to that, so it worked.
We've all seen the adverts that Roger's done in his French Irish accent, and they come across well. I imagine when there is actually a game on the line, you're 13-0 down, it's a little more terrifying in there at halftime than the adverts he's done. But after the game, I assume again he was pleased with the comeback, like you say, not necessarily happy with the performance, but he more than anyone else knows what knockout rugby is like. And as you say, you get the win and you move on. So you're obviously all tired. The start of this week, you've just arrived in Cork. What is the plan? Is he going to show you the sights? Because he must be the best local tour guide there is in Cork.
I think a couple of the boys, because we got off the plane and it was pouring down here and windy, and the boys were just giving it to him like, we went from tornadoes in Cape Town with the wind there, and then now we've come to pouring down rain and windy as well. So I think he might be planning a golf day or something with a couple of the players, but I'm not too sure. So today we just, like you said, we just got in. We got recovery today, and I think we got a bit of review of the last game and preview for the next game coming up.
Matt, I love that Rog has taken you, as opposed to getting home, it's the one destination he would take an entire setup to Cork because it's his hometown and he'll treat it as a holiday. It's a real treat for you boys to be there. That's what you'll be thinking. Mate, a little bit more. You said comparisons with former Oz head coach who's got a fiery temper, but Rog has had tremendous success in a very short period. So what sets him apart already? What are you enjoying in his coaching style and his strategy, the way that he gets you going? What are his real points of difference?
I think it's all of our coaching staff that we have here. The attack coach, our backs coach, and then our forwards coach and defense coach. Like, they all work well together. They all got a plan and implementing that plan, like, when it comes to different teams. So yeah, Rod, but then Rog has that, like, speaks to you, is real honest and just straight up. So for me, that's a big part of it. But yeah, like I said, it's all the other staff as well, and how well they work together. So,
and it's obviously quite early days for you still at La Rochelle. You moved there in December from Montpellier. So just give us an idea for those on the outside that aren't involved in professional rugby. How does a move like that to the back-to-back Champions Cup winners come about in December? How did it work?
It's funny because we're all Skelton, because we played like club rugby together. And then we played at the Tars together, messaged me, and he's like, "Oh, how come? Are you injured? Is that why you're not playing?" And I was like, "Oh, new coach has come in and gone from starting to not playing at all and getting a look in." So, and then he's like, "Oh, yeah, sweet. I'll get the coach to call you. We need a hooker because there's injuries here." And I was like, "Wait, what?" He's like, "Yeah, we need a hooker, sir. Rod will call you and start getting things on the roll with that." And then, yeah, so probably 10, 20 minutes later, Rod called me and he was like, "Mate, we need injury cover, so, and would like to have you here." So yeah, just went over, drove from Montpellier to La Rochelle, did a medical, and I was out of Montpellier within probably a week. So it was pretty quick, and then that following week I had to play as well. So for me, it was an unreal move because I've seen what they've done and I wanted to be a part of that. And it's totally different from where I came from, Montpellier.
A rapid turnaround. Johnny, like, we heard obviously about Paolo Garbisi's move to Toulon, which happened very quickly, and he didn't seem to know a huge amount about it. Interesting to hear this one. You get a phone call from Big Will. Come on, pack your bags. You're in.
Yeah, it was basically the same. Like, and then I messaged my agent, and my agent was like, "I was just about to call you because La Rochelle looking for a hooker, and do you want to leave Montpellier?" And I was like, "Yeah, get me out of here."
And again, on that point, in Montpellier, things weren't going well, right? Like,
yeah.
It seemed like the club was burning. Like, it seems like it stemmed a little bit and they've turned things around. But can you give us a bit of insight into sort of the background of the club? Because at Stade Francais, when you were there as well, it was quite an unsettled time. The club didn't really know where they were going. Montpellier, again, down the bottom. Like, it's just luck of what club you arrive in and your timing when you come to France. It seemed like you were kind of unlucky with two, and then this third hit with La Rochelle, double Champions Cup winners. Like, can you give us a bit of insight into the background of the clubs, the different feelings around the places and how you got on?
So when I first arrived in Montpellier, it was Richard Crockle as the head coach, English fella. And like, we played the first game and we had preseason and stuff, and I think the French boys were, and some of the foreigners as well, were a bit, because the trainings that he had us doing was a bit full on and like contact.
Doesn't sound like cockers. Doesn't sound like cockers.
It was like contact sessions, like big contact sessions on Thursday, like 15 or 15, like full noise. And some of the boys were just like, "Oh, it's too, the season in top 14 is too long to be training like this." And then went into the season, won against La Rochelle, and then after that, he was just kept training the same way that we were training, and sort of just lost the respect of the change room, and we weren't getting results, and then they got rid of him, and then brought in a whole new coaching staff. But yet the environment is different. Like, it was different here at La Rochelle than it is at Montpellier, but I'm sure that it's changed now. The results that they've been getting shows that it is improving, and the players are buying into what the new coaches have brought in. So for me, coming in to La Rochelle, it's been pretty easy, because everyone gets along, and like I said, Rog is honest when it comes to reviews, and all the players are honest with each other. So that's the biggest thing.
And just quickly to touch on your first club in France, because when you arrived, you were flying at Stade Francais, but it ended badly. And you're not the first player that's happened to. You're not going to be the last. Sometimes things end badly and things are said at the end. I remember their president, Dr. Wild, like, said some pretty wild things in the press as well. So I imagine for you, that can't have been easy to go through and live through. A difficult way to leave a club like Stade Francais as well.
Yeah, at Stade, it was difficult for myself, and obviously I didn't help myself with the way that I acted around outside of the field and stuff. But for me, just like you said, the president saying that it was a shock, because you don't expect owner of a club to come out and say personal things about what you've gone through and stuff. So for me, it was a shock and a bit of a low blow.
100%.
Obviously, didn't want to end it that way, but it did. And so for myself, it was good timing, because then I was able to go home and be home with family and my partner, and be there for the birth of our son. So for me, it all worked out. Yeah, it was sort of the best thing in disguise. Otherwise, probably would have still been there and making a fool out of myself when getting backstabbed in the media by the owner. So
it's interesting to see you, like, owning your own part in it, your own behaviour. Johnny and I spoke about it at the time, I remember, and we were both taken aback. Like, whatever goes on behind the scenes, you never normally hear those things in the media, and he was so public about it. So obviously it's great to see you moving onwards and upwards, and now, you know, Stade Francais doing very well at the moment, Montpellier less so, but the environment at La Rochelle is clearly a lot more stable and a lot more settled and a lot more conducive to playing good rugby. Aside from the off the field things, I want to ask you, some people love a bad boy reputation, right? I don't know whether you do or not, but no. Cards, right? You've had a lot of cards since you arrived in France. Is this a sort of difference between refereeing in France compared to the Southern Hemisphere that you've taken a little while to get used to? Is it something entirely different? What, give us your perspective, and do you kind of laugh that bad boy reputation off? Is it something you quite like, or is it something you're looking to get rid of?
I don't really care what people I think and say about, like, myself. So I've had a lot of cards in top 14, so it obviously doesn't help trying to be the good boy and not have the reputation, because I don't know, it's different how they ref over here, to especially if you're playing away, sort of seems to go in the other team's favor. But yeah, that's just, I've tried to clean that up since coming here to La Rochelle. And I think also at Stade, I had the coaches were just like, just go and play and push the limits. And sometimes I'll push too far and get carded for that. And yeah, so they were always, the coaching staff there at Stade at the time, they were just saying that can test as many racks as you want. And if you get a couple, then that's fine. But most of the time ending up in a yellow card.
So lads, you've got 21 caps for Australia. You've just been back at the Taz. You're now back in France. There's a golden decade about to come for Australian rugby, Lions, Tours, World Cups. You've seen teammate now, Big Will Skelton, going back and forth and being able to play for La Rochelle and skipper the Wallabies. I'm assuming you've also got an ambition somewhere that you'd love to add to that tally of caps.
To be honest, like coming over here, I knew that it would be a very small window for me to be able to go back and play for Australia. Probably the only way, I don't know, like for me, the only way I thought that I'd be back playing there is if every single hooker in Australia gets injured and there's no one else. But yeah, there always is a little bit that wants to go back and play for Australia. But like I said, at the moment, it's La Rochelle and here in France. So
it worked with La Rochelle. Just get a Big Will to put a word in for you.
The big dog.
It is interesting, though, because we had Alex Newsome on a couple of weeks ago, and he was chatting about, obviously, he hasn't been capped, but he was giving his honest opinion on where the Wallabies are at, where Australian rugby's at. And he was saying, as I'm sure is common with a lot of people, he thinks they should completely relax the rules, pick whoever they want from wherever they want, so you can make the Wallabies the best side again. I know you've got skin in the game. You'd love to be picked again. Is that something you go along with, basically? They should let Joe Schmidt pick whoever he wants, no matter how many caps they've got or where they're playing the club rugby?
Yeah, well, you look at South Africa. They can play wherever they want and still get picked, still have a chance of making the Springboks. So, yeah, you got to pick your best team for your country. And if that means like there's players overseas that are playing overseas, then you pick them, then so be it. And then you have all these supporters coming out and saying, oh, I should stay in Australian rugby. It's a business at the end of the day. Like, we don't get to play this forever. It only lasts probably 10 years. And then after that, you have to have backup plans. So I understand where supporters are like saying, just stay in Super Rugby, but there's no money in Australian rugby. And that's why there's a lot of players going to Japan, coming over to Europe. So, yeah.
Just before we move on and have a very quick word on Leinster, what was the last contact you had with Australian rugby or coaches or anything? Was it quite a while ago, or has someone been in touch recently to touch base?
No phone calls. So no comms from us. So it is what it is.
Rip it up this weekend and there'll be a phone call. And that's where we have to go now. So Leinster in Dublin this weekend, the big one. That's part of being in this side of the world, is the Champions Cup games. You've got a quarter final this weekend. The La Rochelle boys have got a very, very recent history with Leinster. So what are the boys saying? How big is this game? And how are you going to try and beat Leinster this weekend?
We haven't had a meeting on how we want to beat them. But like you said, the history is there for the other boys that have played against them. They played each other in the pool games, and I think it was 9-6 or something in the end score. But the boys are looking forward to this game. They know it's going to be a tough game. It's not going to be an easy game like every game. But yeah, we've just got touchdown in Cork, so I'm sure Roger will and the coaching staff will come up with a game plan that will hopefully get us the win. But yeah, very excited. Looking forward to it.
We better let you go. We don't want you to get into any trouble. You've just landed in Cork. You've got a recovery session. So it's a tiring period. So go and get some rest.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us, mate. All the best this weekend.
Cheers, mate.
Good luck.
Cheers, lads.
All right. Yeah.
Really good of Tolly to join us, Johnny. Fresh off the, I don't know, fucking plane, bus, train, whatever else to Cork.
There's one thing he was not, and that was not fresh. He looked absolutely exhausted. I imagine they probably had a couple of beers after the game, but it's a slog of a 10 days that. You talk through the travel, going from Poitiers to Paris, Johannesburg, Cape Town, then doing the reverse, going to Cork, absolute glamour venue to host training camp before this game. But look, they've got a few days to get fresh. It's knockout rugby. It's a friendly foe that they know very well. He didn't delve too much into game plans because they won't be there yet. At this stage, but they've knocked over Leinster in the past. They can do it again. It's a massive game, huge test match against one of the best sides in the competition away from home, which always makes it more difficult. But fingers crossed you get some game time and they can do it, because that would be another epic opportunity for what three potentially of the four ties to end up with French sides going through. So we'll see, but we wish him the best of luck.
And obviously tough for Tolu to speak about what happened at Montpellier and particularly what happened at Stade Francais. But yeah, he was honest enough. Like he owned his part in it, particularly what happened at Stade Francais. Said he could have been much better off the field than he was. But we chatted about it at the time. You mentioned it to him. Pretty scandalous the way it ended.
Yeah, look, you just don't expect people in positions of power to, I guess, completely miss the ethical code of the way sort of values are in general in society, and in rugby clubs even more so. We're held to a higher standard. So it's quite often when you get people that aren't rugby players or haven't been involved in rugby but come in, and obviously they hold the money and they pull the purse strings and their positions of authority, and they speak out in ways that we really shouldn't do. So yeah, it was bizarre at the time. It was poor form by the president of Stade Francais. But yeah, Latz was also good enough to sort of own up to his mistakes and realize he'd maybe done some things that he shouldn't have done off the field at the time that led to him leaving the club. But yeah, just didn't need to be flames added to the fire. And good to see him now at, you know, a big club, pumping, going well, finding his feet, confidence again. And he's got a big Will to thank, doesn't he? wish I was playing with Will back in the day. He's like, mate, come join me at this club. Come join me here. Who needs an agent? And I love that. His agent said, oh yeah, I was just about to phone you. Were you?
I didn't like to sail his agent down the river, but you're like, I don't actually need you. I've got a big Will.
Yeah, exactly. So no, just delighted for him that he's in a decent spot, great club, good people around him. And hopefully this weekend they can do a job.
Yeah, and rugby players are human beings. He got to be there at the birth of his child. He moves on and lo and behold, he's only a few months in, but he's in a stable environment, one of the best setups in the world, and he seems to be thriving a lot more. So go figure. He didn't give us too much insight into that matchup, Leinster-La Rochelle, obviously, because it's very early in the week. They haven't had their meetings and he wouldn't want to give a lot away anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But judging on the recent history they've had, obviously in the final last year, Johnny, if you set aside the pool game, they went down very heavily early on La Rochelle, mm-hmm, and then came back to win. Can we read too much into the past encounters, or is this an entirely different game?
I think the main difference will be from Leinster. Their coaching staff has evolved. So Stu Lancaster is no longer there. Will they throw some different shapes and punches? Look, they've been really effective in the URC every game that I've watched. Talent, pace, speed to the game. They execute everything at a really high level, really hard to stop and break down. And they just have a plethora of talent. They have a conveyor belt of talent that keeps coming in and plugging holes. So very impressive. Again, you sort of touched on it there. La Rochelle, even though they went down heavily, they did not panic or capitulate. They just stuck to their guns, stuck to their game plan, worked their power game. And again, they've gone through phases this season where they haven't had everyone. They've had loads of injuries. Now they've got everyone. They've got their first team back, probably for the first time this season. And this is a real opportunity for them. It's a difficult game. It's probably going to be the tightest game of the four quarterfinals, I would say. This is the one that I find the hardest to call, in that Leinster are superb outfit. And they're very hard to break down, but sore La Rochelle when they're on their money. And the games that we've watched those two come up against each other in the past few seasons have been absolute classics. They've been some of the best Champions Cup games that I've ever watched. So two of the best going at it, two sides that could easily be champions. And yeah, it's good that they're over there. They've got downtime. They've got to recover. They get also, it's almost like going on a mini tour. Like, you've got a week in South Africa together effectively. You get more time to bond, play cards, maybe go and hit a golf ball, and come together to do something pretty special into the run-in, what they will be, semi-finals and finals rugby. So yeah, I think that's going to be the tightest and closest game. I think Bordeaux are going to blow Harlequins out of the water. Again, I just don't think Quins or Exeter will have the power to stay with Bordeaux or to lose. I could see that easily being a 15 to 20 point gap, if not more, on both those sides. So yeah, Bordeaux home win, comfortable. Toulouse home win, comfortable. I'm obviously going to say La Rochelle by 1 point away from home, but that's going to be the tightest one. And then the last, Saints v Bulls. Who have you got there, Tim?
I think Saints should have too much at home, but that is largely because of home advantage. Obviously, if the Bulls were at home, I would have thought the Bulls would come out on top.
And have you seen Jake White and the travel mess up that South Africa Rugby's had?
Go on.
They're still struggling to get everyone over to England. They haven't booked the travel. And that was this morning. So we're recording this Monday at, what, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They're not sure when they're getting everyone on a plane. So you think of all that disruption, the fallout, the communication balls up that they have, they're all being critical of South Africa Rugby, they're all unhappy. don't normally want to play against angry South Africans. Maybe that might work in the Bulls' favour. I don't know. But yeah, I would say also that tips it in the favour of the Saints, which would be good to see one English side go through. But yeah, I think that's going to be a tight one. Another one, two very good sides, both domestically, URC and Premiership going very well. It'll be well worth a spot in the semis. So Saints by three.
And obviously on that travel point with La Rochelle, you said you maybe weren't expecting them to win away in South Africa because of the travel element we've just spoken to. So obviously they have landed very early in the week. Rono Gara won't allow that to be used as an excuse. There will be plenty of time to, as you say, hit a golf ball into the eye of a storm in court with Roch this week. So there will be rest. So you're not thinking that's going to be a massive deal, that travel, in terms of counting against them this week?
No, but also it just goes to show the level of detail and organisation that's gone on behind the scenes of the club. So they've had the foresight to pre-book, if we win, we're getting on a charter, we're getting properly to Ireland early, giving the boys the proper rest, affording them that time. But that's them being efficient as a club and being organised behind the scenes. South Africa Rugby have shafted the Bulls. I thought it'd be very hard for La Rochelle to go and win last week because it was a quick turnaround and the travel was really hard. The travel is still difficult to get to Cork, but they've got more downtime. They're straight back to Cork. They've got time to recover. Last, I think he was with Jack Nowell, was his roommate there. They're off down to do recovery. They're Monday. They've still got four or five days of training, of meetings and diligence before they have a hit out. Whereas the Bulls haven't even left South Africa. That's the difference. And the devil is in the detail between the elite and how you prepare at the top end of professional sport. And La Rochelle clearly have got a little edge there.
And when you look to break down that game, we will slightly overlook somewhat Bordeaux Quins, Toulouse, Exeter, because you're thinking that they're going to be two French wins. And I think most people would agree with you. This Leinster-La Rochelle game is obviously the massive tie of the round. So when you look at the way the teams line up against each other, clearly it is going to be that physicality, that up front that Leinster are going to have to match. And then you might look at like a Jamison Gibson-Park. He was clearly on fire at the weekend, scoring a hat trick, but also just running everything for Leinster. And the flip side is if La Rochelle managed to get that edge up front, then you're looking at Tuira Kobalo to run the game.
Yeah, I mean, Irish and Leinster rugby is speed, organisation, confusion, horrible starter plays, gets you on the back foot, and then they just build and build pressure. That's how they play. They're very, very effective and they're ruthless. La Rochelle is slightly different. They aim to play the same way, but it's that brute power. It's if that brute power that they have with Antonio at scrum time, with Skelton, with Aldrich, with Dante, if those waves of physicality can overrun Leinster and you control ball, you run out winner of the game. Effectively, it's who uses the ball better and who holds on to possession between the two. So I mean, that's what we've seen. Whoever's bossed the possession stats and has had the most of the ball between these two sides in the past four times they played, I think, had won the game. I know the last one was 9-6. I think Lat said it was in La Rochelle. But they're very, very close in that they're two sides that are very well run, very effective, very comfortable ball in hand, and can play a variety of different ways. It'll be interesting to see how the conditions hold up in Dublin this weekend as well. It's meant to be an absolute storm everywhere in the UK and Ireland over the next 2-3 days, which will have a big effect as well on the game, might make it even tighter, and therefore your maul, your scrum, how effective you are there even more telling as the game wears on. But yeah, two of these best sides in World Club Rugby, they're both excellent. So looking forward to watching it as a test, how they take each other on, and it should be another classic.
And all in all, you're predicting then a Toulouse-Bordeaux semi-final somewhere in the south of France, and then a Northampton-La Rochelle semi-final somewhere in England, I guess.
Yeah, that what I would love, and this is all, again, there's no Scottish team, so I don't care, but I would love to see Bordeaux-Toulouse, and then I would love to see La Rochelle against Leinster as the other semi. I know the draw hasn't had that happen.
Can't happen play again, Johnny.
But that's what I'd love to see, because Leinster and La Rochelle are both sides that are worthy of competing in a final, as are Bordeaux and Toulouse. Those are the semis that I'd love to see. But yeah, it's going to be tough. Like, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Bordeaux and Toulouse as a semi-final is absolutely massive. And then Leinster or La Rochelle, I back whoever wins that quarter-final to go through, win the semi and make the final.
Can't wait for Dublin in particular this weekend. Thanks, Johnny. A big thanks to Tolu Latu for joining us. And thanks to all you guys for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can. Check us out on Rugby Pass and on YouTube. And we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, Johnny.
Cheers, mate. Father, Lord, he's our God.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.